Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up. Lord, you have kept us today. You have forgiven us today. Lord, you have caused our hearts, hallelujah, to repent. And Lord, you have allowed us to forgive others too, even this day. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. You are awesome and mighty. Lord, we come in your glorious name. We approach your word, the holy ground of your word tonight, under your unction, under your leading, under the umbrella of your anointing. And Lord, we ask that you bless. Bless those who are dealing with various challenges of life, health, financial, family disruption, disagreements, legal issues, or whatever it might be. Touch, Lord, in the body, strengthen, Lord, make ways, open doors, calm the disruptions down, and give us the wisdom, Lord, and the direction as what to do and how to do it and how who to talk to, who not to talk to, as we want to be led by you in all that we do. Bless those who have daily obligations, either at home or out in the world. Lord, we ask for your sustaining power, your strengthening grip on our lives. Lord, our boast is in you today. We magnify you. We praise you. And Lord, we lift you up. Thank you for this measure of journey we have had today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the knitting that you do that bring us together in love. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to do things harmoniously with one accord. Thank you for the glory of your name. And Lord, when we don't know what else to do, you have given us scripture that tells us to stand. So Lord, we're standing here in your presence among our blessed and beloved brothers and sisters. Our hearts are full because there may be a day when we long for moments like this. When we're together, when we have a measure of health and strength. And Lord, we know who you are. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we call on you. We lift you up. We praise you with all we got. Lord, bless tonight's session with the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start out in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, at least. Our topic is the race set before us. And, you know, the lesson tonight got me to thinking about times in our lives when we had kind of a moment of truth, a showdown. It was time for us to do something. those of us who used to be athletes. Maybe it was a big game. Maybe it was a big race. Those of us who have worked on jobs. Maybe it was an interview. Maybe it was a performance evaluation session. And maybe it's a time if we got promoted when we interviewed a key person. Showtime, moments of truth. So I'll start off and I'll ask the saints. Let's think of biblical characters, Old Testament or New, who had moments of truth, showtime, so to speak. I'll give you one good one. Elijah, in his contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I'll give you another one. Paul, when he appeared before Felix in Acts, the 24th chapter. Festus, Acts, the 25th chapter. King Agrippa, Acts, the 26th chapter. He was on trial. And there came a moment when they said, all right, speak up for yourself. And under the anointing, he spoke so powerfully. Moments of truth. Esther, when she had to get herself ready to appear before the king, that was a moment of truth. So any other moments of truth, what we would call in modern language, showtime moments, among biblical characters. If anybody can think of any, you can say so now.
It's kind of not fair. You name the top 10, then you're going to ask us to name after you done gave the best ones.
All right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you. Yeah. That was your time. That was a moment of truth. Anybody else?
Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, did you say that?
No.
All right.
I didn't even mention Jesus. Okay. Raised Lazarus. That was showtime. He'd been confronted by both sisters. Hallelujah. If you had been here, our brother would not have died.
Also, when Elijah called down fire from heaven, when they come to
Amen. Amen. You talking about the prophets of Baal?
No. When the king sent soldiers to come, this had been Elisha.
It was Elisha.
Yeah, Elisha.
He said, if I be a man of God. It got real, didn't it?
Yep.
Once he said that, it got real.
Yep.
They kept on till they learned. He said, you're going to learn today. Leave me alone. Quit sending these soldiers. Anybody else? What about personally? You could use a biblical character or personally. And you could tell me a time when you just felt like God helped you to shine, you know? Maybe an interview, maybe a preaching engagement, maybe a conversation with somebody. Maybe a time when you ran an errand and you ran into somebody you either didn't know or hadn't seen in a long time, and the Lord just seemed to be all over you, and you just had the words to say. Anybody?
Moses.
What about Peter?
Peter. Day of Pentecost and what else?
On the day of Pentecost.
Okay,
all
right.
These men are drunk. Peter said, no, they're not. Go time.
Come on, somebody. How many know that God will get the glory if we would just yield to him?
Right.
If we just say, Lord, I'm out here on you.
What about, this is kind of a out the blue, but what about the ram in the bush?
That was showtime on the part of Abraham.
The ram? Or no? Of course I'm going to bring something up with animals.
Okay, Dr. Doolittle. But Yeah, that's but it was Abraham's test, and also Isaac. Isaac was not a little boy anymore. He was big, and he had 100-plus-year-old dad. He had to yield. You know, he could have overpowered his old man dad, so he had to yield, and Abraham had to obey. He had, you know, he's going to slit his throat as an offering. So, yeah, that was a big moment of truth for Abraham and also for Isaac. Anybody else?
Samson.
Whom?
Samson.
Samson.
Yeah.
Moment of truth at the end and on several occasions in his ministry. Jawbone of a donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. We're talking about moments of truth. Our topic is the race set before us. We are going to read the first three verses of Hebrews 12 first. But I was talking about moments of truth, times when biblical characters or in our own lives, we were faced against a tough situation and God allowed us to rise to the occasion, either, you know, athletic, academically, or whatever. I had a moment of truth. By God's grace, I took the Ohio bar and the Lord allowed me to take it. It was 3 days. And that was miraculous in itself. I won't even go into all the details. Then I came home to take the Tennessee bar. And both of these bar exams had a lot riding on them. Jobs, salary for my family. And we were struggling back then. I needed every opportunity. So Tennessee bar exam, which was a 2-day exam, the first day, the first morning of the exam, I was all bleary-eyed. I wasn't rising to the occasion. And I left a lot of them blank that morning. We took a lunch break. I went out into the car. I cried. I prayed. I knew how desperately my family needed me to pass this test for our financial health at that time. And I talked to the Lord. So I went back in there. And my bleary eyes cleared up. The stuff that had been so challenging that morning seemed like kindergarten stuff. This was from the Lord. I could not have done it in my own strength. And as it turned out, the Lord allowed me to pass the Tennessee bar exam and got a raise. We had a measure of job security after passing that exam. And so that was a moment of truth. And God gets the glory out of it, right? So anybody else? You want to talk about a biblical character? We're getting ready to go on with the lesson. Biblical character at a moment of truth or in your own life. Or you could, you know, and I've had some moments of truth where I failed miserably. And we won't go into all that. All right. The race set before us, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. Hallelujah. It says us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you run in this race of walking with Jesus by yourself, something's wrong. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your minds. We should not be quick to quit, to stop. And what helps us is pointed out in verse 3 is one of the things that helps us is to think about what Jesus went through, right? Lest we be wearied and faint in your mind. And the next verse talked about we have not resisted unto blood yet. So you think you're going through something, what Jesus went through. We have to lay aside every weight, anything that would slow us down. If you have seen these track runners these days, they have streamlined outfits. Some of them even cut off, shaved their heads. They have these aerodynamic uniforms. They have special diets, special vitamins, special training, sophisticated regimens, all designed to lay aside weights, to lay aside obstacles, to lay aside impediments to them being able to run as fast and as freely and as long with endurance as they can. And so we have to lay aside the weight. The weight might not necessarily be what you call a big sin. It could be just the sense of worry, the sense of not trusting God about something, having a sense of dread when we have to face something, when our moment of truth, when our showtime comes, when it comes, we're under attack by the devil. You walk somewhere, maybe on a job, you haven't done anything to anybody. You come trying to get your paycheck. You come trying to put in a day's work, right? And somebody has something set up for you. If you had a desk job, something crazy is on your desk or in your email. Or somebody come back and said, did you do so-and-so? And you don't even know anything about it. And for some reason, they came asking you about it. And you want to kind of go off a little bit, come pick up some of your North Nashville lingo, you know, some choice words for them. Because of you prayed before you got there, not knowing what you would face, that you don't get baited. Satan specializes in baiting us, catching us off guard, catching us by surprise. So we want to lay aside every weight, lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us, because it's going to affect us when we run the race. And when you run the race, there are moments of truth, right? When they say, get ready, get set, or whatever they say, and then the gun goes off, right? It's time to go. You can't say, oh, wait a minute, my shoe's not untied. Wait a minute, I wasn't ready yet. No. And in our lives are like that. You can't say, Lord, can I have a do-over? Sometimes you get it, sometimes it's not. And we have to be prepared. We have to be spiritually conditioned like an athlete, ready for the Lord, because we don't know. And we want to give God a good name. If we say we're his representatives and we are ambassadors for him, right? Then we get these opportunities. It looks like a mess, and it is a mess, but it's not just a mess. It's an opportunity to give God some glory. Hallelujah. When somebody comes at you somewhere, even trouble, even heartache, people are watching us. We say we love Jesus. They want to find out if it's really true. Part of them wants to know, is this thing really real? We've heard about this preacher chasing women. We've heard about this one, all about the money. We heard one preacher years ago. I'm not even going to call his name because I think he really has gone on to be with the Lord. But he said if he didn't raise $6 million by such and such time, the Lord would take him home. I believe he raised the $6 million. or whatever the amount. I think 6 million stands in my mind. That could be correct. But that was foolishness, you know. He like had a gun to his own head over some money. And so people are watching us and they take the worst example they can find and they compare us to that. Why? Because they do not want to yield to the Lord. They want to keep on doing themselves. They want to keep on doing whatever they're doing. They want to keep on getting that little drink on, the gratification on, and all of that. And it's much easier to find fault with the saints than to really go before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Do something with me. Help me. I want to live for you. So we look, and then it says, looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't run the race if our eyes are set in the wrong direction. If somebody's trying to run a race, say it's a 100-yard dash, and they turned around backwards, looking backwards, and then try to come out of the block backwards. I don't care how good they are. I don't care if they Bolt, the man from Jamaica who was so fast, he's not going to win that race. You got to be looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, suppose it's a relay race, right? There are certain zones in a relay race. And we are in certain zones in our life, in certain areas of our life, right? Praise the Lord. There was a time in our lives where we were just the students, learning our ABCs, learning the ABCs of the scripture. Hallelujah. And then at some point, we got to the point where we were able to pass something on to somebody else. Hallelujah. Sometimes we make the mistake, hallelujah, of trying to accept a baton, but we're in the wrong zone. Okay? When you run a relay race and say you're the final leg, there's four legs and you're the final leg. The third leg gets the baton. They're coming around the bend to give it to you. You must first start out in the acceleration zone. That's the part, it's usually about 10 meters that you just take off running. You cannot accept the baton in the acceleration zone. And you cannot accept the baton in the exchange room unless you have been through the acceleration zone. If you just, you got to run, you got to build your speed up. And then you got to go from the acceleration zone into the exchange zone. And in the exchange zone, you can receive the baton from the other runner. Hallelujah. So many times we don't want to do what we're supposed to do, our part in the acceleration zone. That means praying without ceasing. That means repenting. That means forgiving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before we can receive the baton from the Lord, the blessing, the purpose, the destiny from the Lord, we have to be in travail. Hallelujah. We have to be going at it. Hallelujah. In the acceleration zone. And there are some areas of our spiritual lives where we're in the acceleration zone. And then there are certain areas of our spiritual life where we can finally get into the exchange zone where we can receive the baton. And then sometimes, Pastor, with God's grace, go ahead.
Can I add on to that analogy of the baton?
Yes, ma'am. We got a track star on here.
I was going to add something that's even cool, add a point to that, because I was a runner in high school and I ran all the relays. That was my favorite thing to do, was run relays. What you're saying about the acceleration zone, what's even more kind of remarkable about it is that you
you can't look. You've already planned the number of steps that you need to wait until the person reaches a certain mark, and then you turn and you literally run as fast as you can. And then you have to trust that person when you put your hand back that the baton is going to just be there. And it is, because you've practiced it over and over, and you trust that that person is going to do, you've prepared for that race, and you just blindly running as fast as you can, and you put your hand back and the baton is there and you just go. And when you do it smoothly, it's without a hitch. And it's beautiful to see. So I love that analogy.
Well, thanks. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that extra insight. I didn't run track. Track was in baseball season. But that's beautiful. Think about that. And it says, looking to Jesus. All right. So you're not looking back when you're in the acceleration zone. And you can't receive it, but baton in the acceleration. You'll get disqualified. You have to be in the actual exchange zone, which is a little longer. It might be 20 meters or 30 meters, depending on the race. It's a longer period of time. So as First Lady's daughter, Renetta, said, First Lady ran track too. You have to accelerate in that zone. And you're running, and as your hand goes back and you get in that acceleration zone, your teammate has to put that baton in your hand, right in sync. Hallelujah. And we're to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I keep saying over and over, and it's good for me to say it because it reminds me, hallelujah, because I have a tendency to go into my own world. Hallelujah. I have a grandson like that. I'm not going to mention his name. I have a tendency still. I had it as a little boy to go in my own little world, right? But I need, hallelujah, to be calibrated with my brothers and sisters. Iron sharpens iron, hallelujah. And so that baton has to be handed off in the exchange zone. If you run out of the exchange zone, disqualified. It has to happen within that space. It is a sense of working together to near perfection or perfection in order for it to be successful. And you having a poor exchange in a race is a weight. Either it's going to be slow or you're going to get disqualified. You can lose or win the race in the exchange zone, and by extension, the acceleration zone. Paul said, you did run well. What did hinder you? Hallelujah. And there, I think that's Galatians 5:6 or 5:7. We let stuff hinder us. We have a tendency, and this is one of the biggest weight, referred to last Saturday, this is one of the biggest weight that I have observed in others and myself. It starts with an E, excuses. You don't have to say the excuse out loud. Sometimes we do, but you got it in your head. And that's going to hinder you, no matter what kind of zone you're in. It's going to hinder you. You got to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Some of us have issues. All of us have issues. Some of it relates to sin. Some of it relates to worry. Some of it relates to excuses and procrastination. Some of it relates to clutter. Hallelujah. Not just physical clutter, but our minds are cluttered. We haven't apologized. We haven't prayed. We haven't asked God for clarity and capacity and direction. And we're just trying to go it on our own. Hallelujah. And we need, praise God, to be ready to receive the baton from our brothers or sisters or from the Lord himself. Sometimes God deals with us directly ourselves. Sometimes he uses people, praise God. But we have to accelerate to so that when we are ready to receive, hallelujah, we'll be in the right zone, right? Be in the right spiritual framework to receive what God has. So many times heaven seems silent because the word teaches us that if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Hallelujah. But if you're not seeking God for real, if you're just praying because you feel a sense of obligation, and if it's just a sense of obligation, start there. But you can't stay there. You got to go in and have fellowship and encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. It won't work any other kind of way. You don't have the power to do spiritual things in your flesh. And so, or to defeat spiritual attacks in your flesh, or to lay aside spiritual weights, or lay aside sin that does so easily beset us. Why does it say that sin does so easily beset us? Because this flesh is a conductor of sin. Hallelujah. And we're not supposed to be conductors of sin. We're supposed to be vessels of honor. We're supposed to be able to resist the devil and to repel sin and to honor God and to live powerfully. And we can live without it, without the stuff that we think we can't live without. We can live without sex outside of marriage. We can live without it. We can live a powerful life for the Lord. But nobody other than Jesus who walked the earth can do it in our own strength. We can't do it. We cannot do it. It's not possible. We don't have that capacity. We are in the flesh. And this flesh, hallelujah, is a conductor of sin. And we have pride. We have all kinds of things. But we want, hallelujah, to run the race with patience set before us. And what does the word patience indicate to us? Hallelujah. You can't just do a little quick sprint and your race be over. You can't just do a pretty prayer or a powerful prayer and then think that the fight is over or that the race has been won. You have to continue. Every day is showtime for the saints. Every day we have to show a show of force against the enemy. Every day we have to love our brothers and sisters. Our faith means nothing without love. We become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, according to 1 Corinthians 13. So faith works by love. Galatians 5, I believe. 5:6. I'll get to that. I got that scripture listed here. A few pages down. Run the race with patience that is set before us. Don't run tomorrow's race. That means worry. Don't run yesterday's race. That means dwelling on the past. Run today's race. Run the race that is before you. Hallelujah. I can't fix yesterday. If I need to repent, I can do that. If I need to apologize, I can do that. Hallelujah. But I can't undo it. If I was in a race the day before and they gave me a drug test and I failed it, I'm disqualified from that race. 6 months later, another big race, I'm reinstated. They do the drug test. I pass it. I can run that race. And I could apologize for all of those 6 months, but the truth remains, I got disqualified 6 months ago. Hallelujah. And so we can do our best to make amends. We can get things right with God. We can make the godly effort to sow the seed of trying to get things right with people. Hallelujah. But there is a recompense. As we sow, we reap. Hallelujah. And that is a spiritual truth. Hallelujah. Old Testament and New. Just like the fact that God is holy. Old Testament and New. Sowing and reaping, Old Testament and New. That's a truth from how the kingdom works, how God works, how people work. And we just have to face it. There are consequences to what we do. Right? God forgives us from our sin. The example, it's a simple example. It's not anything deep. Is that if a person spend 30 years drinking like a fish, and then they get saved, all of that is wiped away from their spiritual record. But they may have cirrhosis of the liver. The Lord can heal that, or he may elect not to, right? But there are consequences to what we do. And so we don't want to be burdened by running a race with weights and laying aside the sin, without laying aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Well, how do you lay it down? Well, this thing called the altar, this thing called the throne of grace, we give it to God. And then we start our day out, not thinking, okay, yesterday's gone. I prayed to God. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the consequences to that, you don't want setbacks. How are you going to win a race if you keep taking two steps forward and three back? Hallelujah. And then as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we come to the church, praise God. And you know, one of the best things about the church is the church is designed to help get the people's hearts ready for the momentum that God wants us to have in these last days. And we have to have momentum to run the race that God has set us on. Hallelujah. Jesus had joy set before him. And when I think of that, I think of two things. One, the glory of being glorified, the glories of heaven, right? Because Jesus was never created. He came into the world. He was manifested in the flesh, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We talk about that almost every time I talk. And so he was in the beginning. It says, but what we want to do for the Lord is to run the race and to win. And so the joy that was set before him is the glory of the heaven, and also the blessing of the line of Christ that would come after his earthly walk. Who's that? That's us. And everybody that has been since Jesus walked the earth. The line of Christ continues. Hallelujah. Not naturally speaking, but spiritually. Through adoption. Through crying out, Abba Father. Hallelujah. The line continues. He endured the cross. You can endure what you're going through. But Pastor Perkins is all right. Yeah. I bet everybody on this call could write a book about pain, disappointment, struggle, challenges, heartbreak, disappointment even in your own behavior and conduct. Snares, depression, feeling stranded, times when we just shut down. We don't really want to extend ourselves. We don't want to extend ourselves with our brothers and sisters. We feel burned. Yeah, we go through all that. We could write books about it. We could do, I could pick anybody on this call. We could do a podcast on it tomorrow. And if we had time, it would go on for hours. Hallelujah. We've been through things. Some things while we were little, vulnerable, impressionable, not able to fully defend ourselves. And some things as we got older that we have more of a responsibility for. And sometimes it's how we responded. Elder Holden and I talk about that sometimes, what we go through and then how do we respond to it. The response is important. It's very important to God because he wants us, hallelujah, to be grateful. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to know how much we need him. Sometimes I'm convinced, saints, that trouble comes so that we can know how much we need. Hallelujah. And the disciples found that out as we talked about last week about the storm. And Jesus is in the ship asleep, had him like a pillow, chilly. They go wake him up. You don't even care about us. We're going to die. You don't care. And he said, peace be still. Old wind and waves, behave, y'all. And it was over with. Hallelujah. It was a light thing for him. It was light work, you know. And they're about to lose their minds over it. And that's how we are. And that's why our relationship with the Lord is so crucial. It's not just a matter of going to church. That's important. We have to be in fellowship. That's how God set it up. Some people say, well, I don't have to go to church because people in church, this and that and that. Well, that's a trick of the devil. The church is glorious. People are not so glorious. You have to go in and trust God. Hallelujah. That God will show you if a church is not worth your time. God will show you. Hallelujah. God will provide a way for you to get what you need to live with power and to run your race victoriously in this world. Hallelujah. He will show it to you. So don't, you know, church hurt, whatever, whatever. We can't spend our energy on church hurts. We can't deal in that currency. We have to deal in the currency of praise, Lord. Yeah, I had the church hurt, but Lord, you kept me. Lord, I had the church hurt. I didn't catch a case. Lord, I had the church hurt, and I didn't give up on you altogether. And Lord, I had a dry season, but you brought me out of the dry season. And as a matter of fact, I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Despising the shame, it says he sat down on the right hand of the Lord. Don't get it twisted. It's not too thrones or two people, right hand is said, an expression trying to give us an understanding where we can identify, but it denotes power, and certainly that's power in the name of Jesus. The race set before us. When you win one test, when you win one battle, there will be others before you. You get one good doctor's report, that'd be good. Maybe 6 months later, it won't be so good. But whatever it is, hallelujah, we have to run this race with patience. Hallelujah. And we're not running by ourselves. Hallelujah. It says, verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So God has given us some brothers and sisters for the journey. I'm glad I'm not an only child in the kingdom. That's why when we look at what is described as the Lord's Prayer, if we say our Father. An only child can't say our Father. They can only say my Father. But I can say my Father and our Father. It's personal to me, but I can say our Father because I got some brothers and sisters in the kingdom with me. First Corinthians 9:24 through 27. The topic is simply the race set before us. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Hallelujah. Everybody, cannot excel at the same moment before the Lord. That's why we need each other, right? I remember November 3rd, 2020, in the middle of the night, that was election day. I went into the bathroom in the middle of the night. And the next thing I knew, I was walking back to the sink to wash my hands. And next thing I knew, I was bleeding from my face. I had fallen. I was having trouble getting back up. Renetta and her husband and family were living with us at that time. I think they were getting a house. Renita came and checked on me. I was bleeding like a pig, a stuck pig, as they say. I can't remember which eye. Isn't that a blessing? I can't even tell you. Maybe half inch, I might have lost that eye. But I had no damage to the eye itself. But eyebrow, all that messed up, face tore up. I didn't want to go to the hospital. But Renetta, especially Renita, insisted. That is the first time in my life I've been in an ambulance. First time I had been in the hospital since I had my tonsils out when I was 7 years old. But I had to go that night, the way I was bleeding. And something caused the fall. I don't know what. They ended up keeping me because they read my history wrong, thinking that I might have COVID. And back then, it was a 24-hour wait period when you had a test. I told them, because I have night sweats routinely, they thought it meant something that I had an infection, but I've had night sweats all my life, maybe twice a week. But anyway, they didn't pass the information on that I told one person about the night sweats, so they kept me. I had the test, didn't have COVID, got home. I wore sunglasses to work for a while. That's how horrific my face looked. But God is good. And now you see, you know. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Now know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. You can't win a race unless you run, right? You can't get a job unless you apply, right? God will supply, but we must apply, right? So what good is it if God gives you all these gifts, all these abilities, and you never do anything? And every man that striveth for the mastery, for excellence, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. This race we run in is spiritual. The race set before us is a spiritual race. I therefore so run, this is Paul talking, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. The example I give is like a shadow boxer, you know, that's not a real fight. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I lay aside the weight. I lay aside the sin that does so easily, lest that by any means that I have, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. We don't ever want to not practice what we preach, or not practice what we teach, or not practice what we say. We say we belong to Jesus. We want to be an exemplar of that. We want to be a template, an example of that. And that's so important. We're saved to be witnesses and examples, praise God, so that we can witness with our mouth, and then our life would be our witness also, corroborating evidence of what we say. Our walk should not contradict and bring to shame what we say. In order to keep that consistency, we have to work on our relationship with the Lord and work on our relationship with the Lord, with our brothers and sisters. We have to love the Lord with everything we got. Hallelujah. And to love our neighbors, love our brothers and sisters as ourselves, and realize God intends for us to be knit together in love, to walk in power, to walk together. I'm virtually out of time. I can't hardly believe it. It's 7:51. I'm sorry, saints. I got more. I'm gonna read you one other scripture. I got lots. 1 John 1. Now, I'll read one verse of it. 1 John 1. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, talking about Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Hallelujah. The word of life. Jesus is the word of life. Hallelujah. That word that quickens us, that word that anoints us, that word that strengthens and propels us in the direction that he would have us to go, into our purpose, into our destiny, in the trajectory of victory that he has planned for us. Hallelujah. The word of life. So we're holding on to the word. When we look to Jesus, we're looking to the word of life. When we look to the word of life, we're looking to God's word, the truth of his word, the spiritual oomph, the spiritual heft of his word. And we're able, hallelujah, to be magnificent overcomers, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as y'all have heard me say many times, hallelujah, faith without works is dead, but between the authoring and the finishing of our faith, we have to do something, because faith without works is dead. All right, the race set before us, questions, comments, anybody?
I appreciate that word, Pastor B. It really, really hit home. So, just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Sister Nia. God bless you. Anybody else? We got to run this race. Go ahead.
Thank you, Lord, Pastor. I wanted to know if there's going to be a part two, because it was so good. I was so intrigued with the teaching. I didn't realize the time either. And I appreciate the analogy that you used and the co-teaching with Sister Renette as well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I don't know. I have in the past said X, Y, and Z, and then get in the prayer closet and the Lord says something different. But it makes sense to continue on with this, but I still haven't done my New Year's Eve lesson. Some people travel to other states so that they wouldn't get whatever I was going to say that night. But
who did that?
But anyway, God is great. He's greatly to be praised. And so thank you. What I should have said, Minister Malone, was thank you for what you said. I appreciate it. I get so caught up in the word. I just love the word. Y'all only know, because I'm not super demonstrative at times, y'all don't know how good this is for me. I remember many years ago when I used to hear Elder Jackson teach or preach, he'd have the word right in his hand. And he had an excitement about it when he was preaching. I didn't tell him this because I didn't want his head to get big, but he had an excitement to end it. Like as he was reading it to the congregation, it was like somebody who had taken the first bite out of the best food they ever had. You know, he's already read the scriptures. He studied it to prepare for the teaching or the preaching they were doing. But as he was fresh before the people, it was like he was getting fed all over again as he was doing the word. And it was exciting for me. Well, my calling, my anointing is whatever it is, but I feel that way by God's grace when I'm reading the word, when I'm teaching or preaching the word. So, it's good. It's good. All right. Questions, comments? First Lady, you got something to say? Apparently not. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you.
Wait. I had a hard time. I'm on my iPad. I had a hard time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
No. Great lesson.
Okay.
Wonderful lesson, Pastor. It was really good. Thank you. Thank y'all for getting on, y'all, because it was people kind of slow getting on. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, so y'all don't know this, but when I got on the call, I got on at like 7:58. And then at 7 o'clock, when nobody on but me. And I just started praying.
And he didn't look up, y'all. He was praying and just looked down the whole time. And I said, oh my goodness. I called Renetta. I said, Renetta, hurry up, get on.
There have been times.
And Robin is on at work, so.
Praise the Lord. There have been times, saints, when we were teaching in person and people were getting there late, I started reading scriptures before they got there. You can't wait. You can't wait on people, you know? You love them, you're good to them. But if you have an assignment in the Lord, then you take it seriously. And if you say you're gonna start at 7 o'clock, if it's within your power to do so, start at 7 o'clock. So if y'all come, I'm trying to get y'all to come to church at 9:15. And I realize that it's difficult. People come from different counties. They got children and all that. I'm not going to ever fuss about that. But if we can get started that 9:15, getting ready, getting the sanctuary ready, hallelujah. The people who will come visiting, and we're going to have more visitors this year than we ever had before. When they start coming, they won't come to a ghost town presided over by Pastor Perkins and a few other people. They'll come to a church of brothers and sisters either praying or hugging on each other and showing fellowships. You know, some be praying, some be in fellowship. God is working. If they see the vibrancy of the church, and they say, well, And even if it looks like the pastor's preaching, he's getting a slow start, they say, I just got such a good feeling when I walked in the church that I'm going to see if he can turn it around, you know? Then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost kick in. And I get to standing on the furniture talking about good God almighty, you know. But anyway.
All right, girl.
God is great. Sister Barbara Grant, I see you on. God bless you, sister. Go ahead. Somebody talking?
We miss you, Sister Barbara. Come on back. We can
praise the Lord. We sure do love y'all. Let's see. The rashes are on. Sister Jackie, praise the Lord. Sister Jackie, praise the Lord.
Craig? Oh.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Deacon Rod, hallelujah. And Bread of Heaven is actually Brother Rod Putman tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Sister Jackie, come on back. We miss you.
Amen.
We miss y'all too.
I trust you're feeling some better, Sister Jackie.
Yeah, I'm still in the hospital.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, which one?
Summit.
Okay. All right. We'll figure out a time to visit if you will permit it. I'll talk to you offline. I'll text you or something, not okay. to disturb you. But we definitely.
I was coming home today, but my stress test for my heart, it didn't go the way they wanted it to. They said it was abnormal. So and then they going in to look at my heart.
All right. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And we trust God. That things would be set aright and you'll be going home soon. Well, trust God for that. Hallelujah. Anybody else? The Maxwells are traveling. God bless them. So praise the Lord.
I'm the one with the iPhone. I can't change my name. I don't know how to change my name.
Oh, okay. All right, I see. Man, I hadn't heard your voice in a while. I know you had a cold or something. I'm glad you're doing well. I hope your back is better.
I'm good.
All right, well, praise the Lord. It's so great to hear your voice. Y'all don't know y'all don't know what it's like to hear the voices of the saints. It's like salve. It's like medicine. So appreciate. All right. Anybody else? All right. Minister Malone, if you would, you have heard that we need to pray for Sister Jackie Smith. You've heard that we have the Brashers. I don't know if they're traveling yet, but they will be traveling. And the Maxwells have already taken a flight to their destination. And so if you would include that in your prayers, you close us out in prayer, I would appreciate it.
Amen. Yes, sir. Let us pray. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love, your covering, your protection. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Jesus. Before anything, oh God, we just want to tell you thank you and that we love you. We worship and adore you, O God. There is none like you, Jesus. You reign and rule with all power in the palm of your hand.
Jesus.
And we thank you for it, O God. And we glorify your name, Jesus. Jesus, you heard the prayer request of Sister Jackie. We pray right now that you will be her doctor, be her nurses, be the physician. Heal her body, O God. Restore in the name of Jesus. Let all things be well in her body, in the name of Jesus, that everything will work and operate as you ordained it to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray for her heart, O God. Heal it, O God. Restore and strengthen it, O God. In the name of Jesus, even in her spiritual being, her heart, O God, strengthen her, O God. Draw her, O God, to you. Minister to her as she's in that room, Jesus. Let there be a nurse, O God, just to come and show the love of you to her, O God. We pray right now, oh God, that there is nothing negative found, oh God, nothing that will hinder her healing and returning home whole in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are traveling or have traveled or will be traveling for the Brashers, oh God. We pray that you will cover them as they travel up and down the interstate, oh God. Be with them. Keep every driver alert and in their lane. We pray, oh God, for the Maxwells as they're taking flight, oh God. You be the pilot in the name of Jesus, the stewardess, oh God, that it be safe travels in the air in the name of Jesus. We even want to pray for Brother Sam Malone, Jesus, as he's gearing up to return back to the States, that all things will be well in the transitioning, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We pray, oh God, for the saints that is on the Zoom right now in the name of Jesus. Each name, oh God, each household, oh God, each soul in the name of Jesus, that your divine power and glory will rest on your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the words that was taught to us, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you will continue to strengthen us by your word, oh God, and gathering together with the saints, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. That we come together with one mind, one spirit. Jesus. Hallelujah, to lift and glorify Hallelujah. Your name, Jesus, to break bread over your word, oh God, thank to be you, fed the nourishment of your word. In the name of Jesus, we Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God, for even the opportunity to gather in such a way. Hallelujah, Jesus. For wherever we may be, traveling, at work, at home, in our cars, wherever we are, oh God, that we still can come together in this forum, hallelujah, to hear you speak to us through your word. We thank you for our pastor, oh God, everything that he poured out to us, Jesus. We pray that you return to him 100-fold, strengthen his mind, heart, and body in the name of Jesus. We see that he's in his office right now. He works a full day and then teaches your people, oh God. And we pray, Jesus, hallelujah, that in his servitude, oh God, to you and your people, oh God, hallelujah, that he will continue to find favor with man and with you, Jesus. We pray for his family, oh God, that you will continue to strengthen and lift them up, oh God. Find us all together in love, in unity, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Powerful. Sister Renetta, if you're still on, thank you for helping me out with that further details about the relay race. God bless you. Love all of you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Love you all.
Good night. God bless. Good night. Love you.
I thought Sister Renetta was going to be preaching.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Sir. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.